Free Talk Live is your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free at 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line as we launch into another week of fun and excitement here on Free Talk Live. It's Ian here with you.
And Garg.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on our site are for free, so enjoy those on us. That, again, is freetalklive.com. Our friend Gardner Goldsmith does his own radio show during the daylight hours here in New Hampshire. And even though it is a New Hampshire-based show, you do cover some national issues, so certainly of interest to those of our listeners who are around the country and around the world.
Thank you for the plug, and they can go to Liberty Conspiracy to link.
That's libertyconspiracy.com.
Yes, yes. Thanks a lot, Ian.
Super. So, let's get started here. Looks like there's some news out of Canada. Not good news. Not good at all, in fact. Yeah, everybody was thinking that Canada was going in the right direction with this whole war on drugs thing. We thought that things were getting better over there, that they had lightened up when it came to enforcing, especially the marijuana side of the laws. But it looks like the Tories are planning a get-tough national drug strategy. According to the CBC, which is their government news arm, CBC.ca, Health Minister Tony Clement will announce the Conservative government's anti-drug strategy this week with a stark warning. The party's over! For illicit drug users. In the next few days, we're going to get back in the business of an anti-drug strategy, said Clement. He said, in that sense, the party's over. Shortly after taking office early last year, the Conservatives decided not to go ahead with a liberal bill to decriminalize small amounts of marijuana. Why? Well, that's up to you. You can certainly speculate as to why that is. Probably they were lobbied by the police departments and, the cops. They don't want to let go of their precious little war on drugs monopoly that they have.
Alcohol lobby?
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be that.
I'd like to find out if they're citing some heavy increases in violent crimes due to the increased drug use over the past few years because they didn't prosecute the laws.
The marijuana smokers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly doubt that. I don't think that there are a bunch of seething marijuana addicts out there knocking over convenience stores. It just doesn't tend to be what they do. But Toronto, Vancouver, Ottawa, and Halifax all reported increases of between 20 and 50% in 2006 of arrests for possession of cannabis compared with the previous year. By the way, the U.S. is up significantly as well. It was in the 700,000 range, like around 770,000 arrests for marijuana. In 2006, it ended up being over 830,000 arrests for marijuana in this country alone. Since then, it's amazing. The number of people arrested for smoking pot has jumped dramatically in some Canadian cities, in many cases by more than a third. As a result, thousands of people were charged with an act that under the previous Liberal government was on the verge of being decriminalized. Police forces said many young people were under the impression the decriminalization bill had already passed and were smoking up more boldly than they'd ever done before.
I think I was under that impression.
So was I. I mean, everybody sort of thought that, hey, Canada's finally, they're figuring it out. They've come to understand that marijuana smokers aren't actually harming anybody else.
You know, I lived in Vancouver for a while when I worked at a TV show, and it was great. You know, I don't do any types of drugs or anything, but it was, you just had a freer environment there. You had the cops wouldn't prosecute people. People would be able to carry what they wanted to. And even in some cases, prostitution wasn't really something that they would prosecute. It was, if you're not harming anybody, go ahead and do it. We're going to concentrate on other things, breaking and entering and real crimes.
The sensible way to approach things.
Yeah.
But then again, if they don't prosecute marijuana criminals, so-called, then they don't get that extra cash. You know, you get a lot of money out of marijuana smokers because most of them, they don't fight the charges. They take the plea bargain and then they get a several $100 fee that they have to pay or fine that they have to pay. And so you multiply that out times the thousands of marijuana smokers that get picked up every year. And that's a cash cow for the government. They don't want that to go away.
Mm.
So they'll continue ruining people's lives just so they can have their precious little war on drugs.
So the new national anthem would be, oh, Canada. Is that it?
Apparently so. Police forces say that the young people were smoking up more boldly than they'd ever done before. Clement says his government wants to clear up the uncertainty, saying there's been a lot of mixed messages going out about illicit drugs, said Clement in an interview on a symposium to bring together Canada's arts and health communities. There's also a healthcare cost element to suggesting to young people that illicit drugs are okay, said the minister. He says the fact of the matter is they're unhealthy. They create poor health outcomes. Well, so does eating fatty foods.
Right.
So I guess
right. Once you descend into this arena of the socialized healthcare, which is what they have up there, and likely we're on the path to that here,
mm-hmm.
Once you descend into this arena of, well, it's unhealthy. You know, doing this behavior affects us all. Man, are you into everything? Because as far as I'm concerned, driving cars is unhealthy, and I don't want anybody to do it.
It's interesting because you listen to the Democrats in the last debate, Mark, and they all have this, especially Hillary Clinton, this term, shared responsibility. Shared responsibility. She thinks that with a shared responsibility, of course, you have no choice into whether or not you want to adopt this responsibility.
Right.
And, of course, if you take on the shared responsibility, that means everybody else can manipulate everybody's life because they have a responsibility to take care of you.
Right. It's where the majority decides what your responsibilities
right,
will be. Right.
And then you'll get low-cost health maintenance, and that will save money in the end for these high-cost procedures when people get the regular checkups and everything that they need. So, in other words, people are too stupid to take care of themselves. And even if they were smart enough to take care of themselves, many are incapable of doing so. So therefore, the government's going to get involved. Make sure you go to the doctor every year, as John Edwards would like to force everyone to go to the doctor
every year.
That was brilliant. Oh, and of course, if you don't, what's going to happen? Well,
you'll
be fined. Who knows? It's insane.
Did you hear the Hillary Clinton's newest proposal?
Oh, the $5,000 per child thing?
$5,000.
No, I haven't heard this.
Yeah, I know you haven't heard this. $5,000 per child. They'd each get a little, call it an education trust fund. And they would get that, upon birth. And
education or health care?
Education.
Okay.
And they get this $5,000 to do with as they please once they reach maturity or whatever.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's for the kid?
Yeah, it's a bond for the kids.
Yeah.
It's similar to, something Madeline O'Hare or something or other, some congresswoman from back in the 60s wanted to give $8,000 per child to families in some sort of a block.
Sheer genius.
Yeah, from the federal government. They were doing something sort of similar to that in Italy, where they were saying, oh, we will give X number of lira or whatever in Italy.
You know, they said that the government would give, but that's the part that's just not fair. The government doesn't have anything
right.
to give.
Right.
All they have is our labor.
But wait a minute.
That in the form of money that we've worked for.
You might have been onto something when you said it was sheer genius. I mean, I think you were being sort of facetious with that, but I think it might actually be sheer genius. I mean, think about that. That's a sexy sell point to a voter. You know, hey, you got kids. We'll give you $5,000 a kid. Now, I presume it's only for new kids that are born after she gets elected. So you have some kids. We'll give you $5,000. It goes in this little lockbox, and you get it when they turn 8. They get it when they turn 18. And parents are going to look at that and say, yeah, $5,000. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then what they don't understand, of course, is that inflation will be working very hard on that $5,000 every single year. As they're waiting for 20 years or 18 years or however long it takes for the kid to actually get their hands on money.
I'm sure that it has some kind of interest. I don't know. A trust fund would have interest. I imagine that this would have interest. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, it's not going to be anything substantial. It's a government program. So, I mean, really, how much interest do you expect out of it? And on top of that, so that $5,000 is going to be chump change 20 years later. That's one point, number one, besides the whole fact that it's being stolen from the taxpayers. And how dare they suggest that I have an obligation to take care of somebody else's family, that I have an obligation to take care of your kids. You're the one that had them. You should have been prepared for it.
Well, I think that it's good for everybody to help each other, but it's not help if you force me to do it.
Right. Let me choose which kids I want to help.
Well,
maybe I don't like your kids. Maybe they're brats.
I was going to say, it's like the state children's health insurance program that there were protests in Washington today about this. John Kerry was speaking on Friday about it, and then they had Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, had Chuck Schumer on the Democrat side going up against Trent, Foghorn Leghorn Lott. Going out there. Now, Trent Lott voted for the original Children's Health Insurance Program. He's got nothing to stand on, and yet he's opposing the expansion of it. It's like, dude, you've ceded the principle.
Yeah.
You lose.
Yeah. 1-800-259-9231. They ceded their principles a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
You can take control of the airwaves, bring up whatever's on your mind. Still talking about the war on drugs or health care or whatever you want. 800-259-9231. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during a U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president. A serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage. If you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple. More of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
This is a market alert from Midas Resources. Since August 9th, the Fed has created and injected $200 billion into the financial markets to keep them afloat, ignoring the hyperinflationary hangover that is the sure result. Data released by the New York Federal Reserve shows that foreign central banks have cut their stash of U.S. Treasuries by $48 billion since late July, with falls of $32 billion in the last 2 weeks alone. Could China be quietly dumping the dollar? The quality of your life depends on the quality of your currency, and the quality of the dollar is poor because the quantity is so high. Printing money out of thin air has disastrous results, victimizing middle-class citizens and discouraging savings. If you have been considering precious metals as a hedge against inflation, you need to act now. Procrastination is the mother of lost opportunities. Call me, Tom Andrew, at 1-800-606-1294. That's 1-800-606-1294.
Do you suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, unbalanced cholesterol, or clogged arteries? Do you want to live free of sickness, pain, and fear with increased vitality? Today, you're going to learn about an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and improved circulation. It's called Heart and Body Extract, and it's going to change your life. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, was astonished by how quickly the product worked for her.
Within 2 weeks of using the formula, my blood pressure went from 160 over 110 to 120 over 70. Typically, a person will notice a difference within the first bottle.
So, exactly how does Heart and Body Extract work?
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself.
Here are just a few of the benefits associated with Heart and Body Extract. Angina is gone in just a few days. Blood pressure goes back to normal, and irregular heartbeat returns to normal. Heart and Body Extract works by making sure your body is in balance. Doctors who've tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results. Dr. Mark Goodman talks about his experience with the product.
My experience has been tremendous. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Dr. Shreve also witnessed the positive effects with his patients.
This is the most encouraging development that I think that I have seen in a long while in dealing with these patients who are so ill. I am just amazed.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2 month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231. And we invite you to our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site for free updates are there. Get signed up. We'll clue you in. Whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show, you'll know first if you're on the updates list. In fact, I sent out an update today announcing that it is a new month, which means that it is time for voting for Free Talk Live. It's a once-a-month thing we ask you to do. We won last month. Again, it's been like 6 months in a row that we've won the first place the first place at podcastalley.com.
Awesome.
We're going to win ourselves into an irrelevance. Nobody's going to ever go look at the first place
to see who's first anymore. Well, either way, it has certainly been appreciated, those of you who've gone out and participated in the monthly voting. And so the totals reset every month. And so since it's the first, we need to ask you to go to vote.freetalklive.com and cast your vote for the show. It'll take you less than a minute. Very simple process. And it makes a big difference for us because when people see Free Talk Live sitting as the number one podcast, according to podcastalley.com, that, you know, that makes them more likely to listen to us. And that means they'll come across the message of freedom and liberty. So head over to vote.freetalklive.com. And your mattress was likely manufactured using all kinds of disturbing chemicals. Does this bother you? Well, it bothers some scientists, especially in the case of young children. Savvy Rest mattresses are made of 100% natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton. Try their crib mattresses, too. SavvyRest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. That's SavvyRest.com. Apparently, the powers have shifted a little bit up in our neighboring country of Canada. And I know we have a number of Canadian listeners, and certainly you guys are welcome to chime in at 800-259-9231. The conservatives have taken control. I guess that's what they call themselves up there. But once again, you know, the word conservative has lost its meaning here in America, and I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean anything up in Canada either. Because if they really were conservatives, wouldn't they be working to, you know, downsize the socialist health care program or something like that? But no, they bought into it hook, line, and sinker, and they've also bought into the idea that, well, because government is paying for everybody's health care, or if taxpayers are paying for it, and if government's providing it, then that means government gets to set rules for what you do with your personal health. Meaning government gets to control what you put in your body, and that's the excuse they're using to crack down once again on drug use, specifically marijuana smoking. One of these conservative, so-called conservative guys, Mr. Clement, argues that governments in Canada have been sending the wrong message about drug use. It's time, he says, to take a tougher approach to dealing with the problem. Clement said, there hasn't been a meaningful retooling of our strategy to tackle illicit drugs in over 20 years in this country. We're going to be in a very different world and take tackling these issues very seriously because of the impact on health and safety of our kids. The Conservatives' wide-ranging $64 million anti-drug strategy is expected to combine treatment and prevention programs with stiffer penalties for illicit drug use and a crackdown at the border against drug smuggling. See, apparently these guys either haven't been paying attention to what has happened in the last several decades in the United States, in that it doesn't matter how hard you crack down, you can't stop the illicit trade of narcotics.
Right.
It is just impossible. It's the rules of the marketplace. People are demanding these products. Therefore, it doesn't matter how, you know, how many crackdowns you have or how restrictive you get. There are going to be people who are willing to take the risks, who are willing to face, in some countries, they face death to bring drugs to the consumer's hands. Now, it's not going to be that way in Canada, nor is it going to be that way in the United States anytime soon. But in some countries, drug dealers are willing to face down the death penalty in order to make the obscene profits that they can make by doing business in the black market. You can't make it go away. So these guys must know, they must know, right, that an increase in the drug war means an increase in the government. It means an increase in their power. That's what they're doing this for, right? It's not to save the kids. It's to increase their power.
And the rhetoric is so empty. What is he trying to do to stop? Who's he trying to protect? People
kids.
From their own choices.
Young people.
Young people.
Yeah. It's always for the kids, Gardner.
It's ridiculous. You know, the founding fathers, they got violent over taxes on tea, for goodness sake. Not just making tea illegal, you know. And tea has a certain amount of caffeine in it that makes you feel good. As my dad used to say, it cheers but does not inebriate. So, you know, really, that form of plant that's going in your system versus the burning smoke from marijuana. Why is it that today we're not getting people who are just as fired up as the founding fathers? It's
a great question. Why do people just sort of take this stuff laying down? Is it because that they've just been so fully indoctrinated by government schools that they believe that government can make decisions for their lives?
We've got to get the frogs to jump out of the pot, man. You know?
That is certainly the trick here, isn't it? That's what we've been trying to do. We continue to try to do on this show. Enlighten the frogs to the fact that the heat is being slowly turned up on them and hopefully give them a reason to jump out and get them excited again. I know Ron Paul's doing a pretty good job at that.
Yeah.
And he did have the chance last week to actually address the drug war at the, I think it was the Minority Voters Forum or whatever. I don't remember what it was called, but it was the BET guy. Tata Smiley was the host of that one. It was on PBS.
I believe that, wasn't it the Black Voters Forum?
Black Voters? Okay, maybe it was.
But, man, he did a great job really, really touching on the war on drugs for the first real time in his campaign.
Awesome.
He hasn't had a chance to really address it on any of the other debates, but in this one he came out swinging and really got some great response from the crowd on
it. And the supposed mainstream guys didn't attend on that one. You know,
yeah, that
Giuliani,
was great.
Giuliani, Romney.
It was great because they put the empty podiums up on the stage.
Awesome.
So,
that's great.
Well,
yeah, I love that. I got to get over to maybe PBS has it or YouTube.
YouTube's got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Clement has suggested in the past that he opposes so-called harm reduction strategies for combating illegal drug use, including safe injection sites where nurses provide addicts with clean needles and a safe place to use drugs. At a Canadian Medical Association meeting last month, he was quoted saying, quote, harm reduction in a sense takes many forms. To me, prevention is harm reduction. Treatment is harm reduction. Enforcement is harm reduction. No, you don't really get it.
No, you're not reducing harm.
The point of harm reduction is to minimize the amount of harm that both the drug use and the drug war can do to the user. So the idea behind harm reduction, on one side, is to educate drug users, to give them honest information, like information you can get over at Arrowid.org, E-R-O-W-I-D.org, great online compendium of information about all sorts of different drugs.
Right.
Good stuff and bad stuff.
Right. The idea is to give them the honest, straight-up information about these drugs and allow them to make informed decisions. Instead of the old just-say-no mentality, which clearly doesn't work. When you tell kids just say no, we all know they're going to go out and do it anyway. The problem is that if there's no harm reduction going on, if there's no real educating going on, then all they've been told is don't do it. And that they don't know anything about the drugs that they're actually going to end up taking.
Yeah.
Whereas if you tell kids, okay, well, we know there's a chance you might decide to take ecstasy, also known as MDMA, and if indeed you do decide to take ecstasy, here's what you need to know. You know, keep yourself hydrated. Don't go around and exert too much energy without having water nearby. Most kids that die from ecstasy are dying because they're dehydrated. It's not because they're getting bad drugs necessarily. So these are some of the things that young people need to know, and harm reduction is all about informing them so they can survive their experience instead of becoming a casualty.
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that postmodernist term, semiotics, the study of the oral qualities of words. It's really just a bunch of crap, pretty much. But essentially, there are some, I think, reasonable approaches to looking at the way that guy uses some of his terms there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rhythmic quality. There's a sort of solidity to the words, the rhetoric that he uses, where people hearing it, they might not even think, okay, let's question, what exactly is he saying here?
He sounds very official. He sounds authoritative.
Yes.
800-259-9231. You can bring up whatever's on your minds. 800-259-9231. Take control of the airwaves. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Hi, this is Jeff Rentz, and if you're interested in suppressed natural cures and rare exotic remedies, this may be the most important message you'll hear for a long time. There's an opportunity right now for a limited number of listeners to acquire an amazing, blacklisted, naturally occurring compound with very unusual ionic properties. In fact, it's considered the single most important remedy in all of Ayurvedic medicine. Medical studies have been conducted abroad on the effects this rare mineral-like compound has on energy, diabetes, tumors, ulcers, memory, and brain function, not to mention reproductive health, exercise recovery, and arthritis. Because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made. However, it's still quite legal to own this compound, and the best part? My listeners pay nothing down. Simply go to blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Or call 815-259-4552. That's 815-259-4552 for details.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read just one? Hi, I'm Jeff Flam, founder of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your entire family. Kids do better in school, teens can score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo of IQ is only available for a limited time, so call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-990-1878. That's 1-800-990-1878. 1-800-990-1878.
Tired of looking at those same old kitchen cabinets? Now you can update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of total remodeling. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation. Call right now and ask about our special financing terms. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So call now for a great new look for your kitchen. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8069. Offer ends 9/30/07. Subject to applicant creditworthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. Isn't it time to give your kitchen a whole new look? Call 1-800-300-8069. Ask about our special financing terms. Don't wait any longer to make your kitchen cabinets like new with Sears custom cabinet refacing. Call today at 1-800-300-8069.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
It's 800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The feature's on the site for free. We've got live streaming, broadband version of the show, and a dial-up version for free for you at freetalklive.com. And now you can save time and money on common legal matters. Created by top attorneys, LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like your will or living trust in minutes. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL to save 10%. LegalZoom.com. Just a few more thoughts on harm reduction. We'll go to the phones and talk to you. And also, since we're on the drug topic, Gardner, you've got something that John McCain apparently went head-to-head with a woman in a wheelchair.
Yes.
Well, we'll get to that. So the Canadian Medical Association meeting, one of the so-called conservatives up in Canada was talking about how they're going to crack down. It's time for Canada to get serious about cracking down on drugs again. So look out, Canadians. You thought that you had it good. You thought things were going in the right direction. Well, it looks like things have turned around. And now they're talking about putting people, checking more people at the border, a crackdown on the border. They're talking about stiffer penalties for drug use. So whereas the police might have been looking the other way if they saw you smoking marijuana in Canada. And there apparently were a lot of people that were just, on the street or in coffee clubs or whatever, smoking marijuana or vaporizing marijuana, and the cops were looking the other way for a while. Now that's all going to change, according to these guys. And he says that he thinks that harm reduction takes many forms. He thinks that prevention is harm reduction, treatment is harm reduction, and enforcement is harm reduction. But no, that's not what harm reduction is. And no, sir, you don't get to redefine the term harm reduction. Harm reduction is about educating people so they know what to expect when they're taking drugs. Because you have to understand, it doesn't matter how much enforcement you do
young people, old people, people will still take drugs. And we want to make sure they survive the experience. That's the purpose behind harm reduction. Also, another side of harm reduction is beyond education is to indeed allow people to access the things that they need. In the case of a heroin user, it's clean needles. Mm-hmm. Instead of having to buy their needles, I don't know, how the hell the heroin users get their needles? I mean, we know they borrow them from their friends, which, of course, contributes to the spread of AIDS and that sort of thing. You can't really just go to the drugstore and buy needles. It's
very difficult to get that stuff legally unless you're someone who has problems with your blood because you're diabetic or something like that.
So I imagine that somebody's probably stealing them from hospitals and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. Put the tools that they need in their hands so they don't have to endanger their lives trying to get the drugs into their systems, because they're going to do it anyway. Let's try to make it as safe as possible. And then, of course, to suggest that putting someone in a jail cell is in any way harm reduction is absolutely laughable. I mean, you take somebody...
Being put in a jail cell is, in fact, harm.
Yes.
Yes.
You're harming their life.
And it's the most harmful part of the drug war.
Absolutely.
The fact that drugs are illegal, and all you have to do is look at marijuana versus alcohol and see which one's more expensive. Why?
Yeah.
Pot, there's no reason for pot to be expensive.
Mm-mm.
You can grow it in your backyard.
It's a heck of a lot easier to make than alcohol.
Yeah.
Unrolled tobacco's damn cheap. Go look at that. I mean, you can buy a pound of that for $12.
And that's after they've cut it in North Carolina, canned it up God knows where, and shipped it halfway across the country. Just think if you... I don't suggest doing this, but if you just took the seeds out of a bag of marijuana, sprinkled them in your backyard... a few months later, you're going to have pot plants. That's all it takes to get this stuff.
Yeah. So once again, harm reduction doesn't have anything to do with throwing people in a jail cell. That is, the worst thing you could possibly do, because you're taking someone out of their productive life, because most drug users are productive members of society, whether you want to believe that or not, it's true. You're taking them out of their productive life. They had a job. They had something they had to do. They had responsibilities. Many of them have family members.
Right, people
they
that love
them. They have kids to take care of. You've just plucked them out of their livelihood and
now
them
I
in
have
jail
to pay
cell.
For it.
Right, now we all get to pay to keep them in the jail cell.
And, of course, the time that's going to be devoted in taking these people in, apprehending them, prosecuting them, the attorneys, the judges, all those expenses will be added to all of this mess, as if Canada was some cesspool of moral ambiguity where they had all these problems that were arising from people ingesting these particular chemicals that Satan was somehow coming in and invading them. I mean, it's so absurd. And the funny thing is you get statements from the officials, these hard-nosed paramilitary officials who come out and say these things, as if that's going to improve the moral code of Canada. It's not. And the problem is that you'll see the busts, you'll see the arrests on the news, it'll be reported. These guys will be seen as heroes cracking down to protect our kids. And what they're doing is wasting people's money and the money of a state-run police force that was formed to stop people from harming one another, not bringing any sort of harm or even an amorphous concept of harm to themselves.
You got it. 800-259-9231. Let's go to the phones, and we'll get to the McCain thing here in a moment.
Yeah,
first, talk to Brian in Florida. Brian, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian Gardner and Mark. Brian in Florida, going what?
How you doing?
Hey, Brian, what's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about the girl with the light bright sweatshirt from a couple nights ago.
Oh, okay. This is the...
A couple of weeks ago, practically.
Yeah, this is about a week or so ago. In Boston, the young lady, MIT student, who went into an airport to look for a friend of hers who was supposed to get off a flight. On the way out, she checked with an information kiosk, and they called over some police because she had a flashing LED board or something like that glued to her chest, and it caused all kinds of trouble. What was your comment?
Well, I wanted to talk about Mark's stance about this.
He
said a couple times that she was eligible for the Darwin Award. In other words, she was incredibly stupid in order to bring a light bright sweatshirt into the airport. I just find this idea horrible, that because she was stupid, she should be shot.
No, I'm not saying she
really
should be shot.
I understand that.
She could be shot.
Right.
Do you understand that doing something foolish, let's just go with foolish, let's not say that Star is stupid all around, because clearly she's at MIT, she's smarter than I am in some ways. But
the police didn't know that.
Absolutely not. And behavior that's appropriate at MIT is not necessarily appropriate elsewhere. Wearing a flashing, blinking LED board at MIT probably makes perfectly good sense. I don't know.
Or
I've never been there.
Even in an adult daycare center.
What's that?
It might even make sense in an adult daycare center.
What the hell is an adult daycare center?
Some place where they take care of people who are stupid.
Uh-huh.
You mean Congress? Sorry.
Very good. Right. No, I'm saying, what if this person really was stupid?
Okay.
Well, we don't, because the police officers didn't know. They have no idea whether this person was mentally challenged or not.
Oh, no. Look, there's lots of stupid people in the world. Like, you're talking about, like, Down syndrome, people that have, serious problems. They don't build LED boards and stick them to their, sweatshirts.
No, but they might have had
this
people
takes a special kind of
forces. For
they could have found
they
one at a garage sale.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the police officers didn't know this woman from Eve, uh-huh. And you're saying it would have been great.
The really great
shot.
No, I didn't say it would be great. I said I would not feel bad.
You would not feel bad.
I would feel bad.
Horrible. I
what?
Would feel horrible if someone got shot who no one knew. No one knew this woman. They didn't talk to her. They didn't. I mean, they said if she hadn't followed their directions exactly, she would have been dead.
See, I think that's what happens when you're a mad bomber.
A stupid person would not know to follow the directions
exactly. So should we treat terrorists with strapped-on bombs like they're stupid people and just ask them questions?
What I'm saying is that people with the LED board are not going to be terrorists. Number one. I mean, let's just get that right out there.
No, that's not good. Let's not get that right out there. I looked at several IEDs, improvised bombs, on the internet, and they are amazingly, ordinary-looking things. Fire extinguishers, stuff I really can't identify. And no expert could because you make them out
of
so many things. I'm sorry.
How many of those were found in the United States?
I don't know how many. Does it really matter where they've been found? I know I can find a fire extinguisher in the United States.
The fact is that the bombs can look like anything, and I don't think it's necessarily wrong for the cops to be suspicious. It's just that they handle things a little bit, I think, too tough in my book. But nonetheless, I thought that, and thanks for the call, I thought that a listener made a really great point. Would you also support the police accosting this young lady on the street?
On the street isn't the same as the airport.
Really? So it's okay for people to walk around with fake bomb devices just at the street level? Only the airport people's lives are valuable? More on the way. You can explain yourself here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
Live, it's your show. You can bring up what you want toll-free. 800-259-9231. And that is the Staples CAI toll-free line. Is Ian here with you?
And Guard.
And Mark. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the site are totally free, so you can enjoy those on us. That again, freetalklive.com. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, then go shopping at amazon.freetalklive.com. When you start your shopping experience through that link, Free Talk Live gets a percentage of your purchase in any of their 41 categories you can shop in. New items, used items. You know Amazon. They're the world's largest internet retailer. Great customer service, great products, great deals, super saver shipping for free on a lot of products. Head over to amazon.freetalklive.com to get your shopping started. That's amazon.freetalklive.com. We'll continue with the phone calls in a moment, but I wanted to make sure Gardner had a chance to talk about this whole mad bomber at the Boston airport thing. But, Mark, I had a question for you first, because you were sort of the guy in support of what the cops were doing. You thought it'd be okay if they just shot her dead. You said that you wouldn't feel bad about it if they shot her dead.
Right.
I love a little callous.
I love the quotes that I get from you. I want you to write my memoirs.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because you really know what's going on in my head. No. The fact is, that's not what I said at all.
You said you wouldn't feel bad.
Like he said, I wouldn't. I'm sorry. I'm just not. If an MIT student is foolish enough to wear a blinking board into the airport, she's going to have some problems.
Right. But she wore this blinking board everywhere. She wore it all over the place. It was her sweater. And you just told me before we went to break, you told me that you didn't think it would be appropriate for the police to draw down on her if she were just walking down the street.
No, you said it would it be okay if it happened on the street. Here's the difference between the street and the airport. A, you're not walking into the lion's den on the street. There aren't going to be 6 cops around with MP5s on the street. It's impractical for it to happen.
So
it shot happen. The reason I said she's eligible for the Darwin Award in this particular instance is because she walked into a place where there are, in fact, going to be a half a dozen or a dozen police officers with MP5s that will draw down on her.
So she should expect to be held at gunpoint if she's in an airport. But she shouldn't expect it anywhere else. If she encounters police officers, she should just expect them to ignore the flashing blinking board on her shirt if she's anywhere else.
Would it be wise, fortuitous, smart? Would it be a good idea for me to wear a G-string made of $100 bills, lots of them, hanging off of me, taped to my thighs, and walk down the streets of Tijuana, Ian?
I don't understand the relevance, Mark.
Somebody's going to beat me up and take my $100 bills in Tijuana.
Uh-huh.
Because
what's that have to do with a little girl wearing a shirt?
The streets are full
LED.
Of crooks in those particular areas. The cops are, mm-hmm. I think maybe Tijuana's been cleaned up a bit since the last time I was there. But it's a somewhat lawless place. Very
you know,
I just think it's interesting how you're being very inconsistent here.
No, I'm telling you, she's eligible for the Darwin Award.
I don't care about your Darwin Award thing. You want the police to protect people in airports, and you think it's okay for them to hold people at gunpoint when they wear suspicious T-shirts. But if it's somebody wearing that same suspicious shirt anywhere else in town, you say, no, police should leave her alone there. Seems inconsistent to me.
If someone is tasked with guarding a particular place, as those police officers are,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to find this blinking, flashing box that I saw, it's reasonable to find that to be suspicious. So if someone's tasked in those particular areas, then they should protect those areas in whatever manner they're going to protect.
So are you saying that police should stop people with suspicious T-shirts in public?
If they have something that looks like a bomb on their shirt, then, if somebody's tasked with guarding that particular area, be it a
what
police
if I have
officer
a shirt
or security guard,
with a picture of a bomb on it? Is that good enough?
No, it's not.
See, I think it's interesting because immediately my mind started going into areas in the Middle East, whether it's Gaza or someplace in Israel, where there is a recognized threat of terrorism. And you
people
guys,
do blow
yeah,
themselves
guys,
up regularly.
Yeah, people walk in with vests and so on. And so these guys are tasked with doing this sort of thing, and they look for these sorts of things. And we're not yet in that situation outside. And it's interesting because typically, usually on this program, we'll talk about alternatives to the government solutions. And in here, obviously, the conversation is not outside those parameters yet. We're talking about in a government situation where the government is being tasked with doing something, is it appropriate for the government to assume that they can, say, knock down a person wearing a suspicious item, or should that individual be considered to have a presumption of innocence? Where does that decision come down? And do we think that that person in going into that area should have full knowledge going in beforehand of the threat that she could be bringing upon herself and looking a certain way? And it speaks volumes, I think, about the society that we are now creating, where you have this sort of threat and you have governments running these sorts of things, and you do run into these not necessarily ambiguous situations, but where two people can disagree. One can say she was stupid. She should have known going in there. She was an intelligent woman. That, of course, assumes that we already have some information about her state of mind, that she was an intelligent person and not maybe mentally invalid or something like that, or a child or something like that.
Well, it also
like
presumes she thought there was something inherently wrong with having flashing LEDs
right.
on her chest.
She might have gone in, what about somebody who wants to prove a point?
It's not just the LEDs. It's the circuit board, the whole thing.
It didn't look suspicious. Not to me.
Okay. Of course not. Because you hate police. And anything that they do is completely
when they overreact
wrong.
And they're out of control like this,
What if a security firm did the same thing, Ian?
Well, first of all, security firms are a little bit more conscientious about the fact that they're dealing with a potential customer, and I think
they're dealing with hundreds of potential customers in there that could get blown to pieces.
Yeah, I think they would have approached it a little more carefully and not pointed guns at this young lady's head. It is speculation, but I am somebody who has worked with private security in the past, and so I think I'd like to say I have some sort of insight.
I've worked with private security too. There's lots of different people in private security.
Yeah, I understand that. And I would also expect that the security would be better trained than these numbnuts cops to understand that real terrorists, they don't strap the bombs to the front of their T-shirt as they walk around the airport for a half an hour before they decide to leave and then ask an information kiosk
a question.
They didn't
know that information. Where
she was I thought they were supposed to be monitoring everybody on their camera systems and with their TSA agents standing around talking to people and reading what books they read and that sort of thing.
I think that's pretty impractical.
You know what? We've heard enough about what you think, Mark. I was just curious as to how Gardner felt about how the police helped handle the situation with this young lady in Boston, since you weren't here when we first talked about it.
Yeah, well, the handling of the situation with this girl is, it immediately says to me, look, the state is not going to be, even if something goes wrong, the onus is going to be on the girl. She should have known not to go in. And that is because in knowing what happened, we know that this girl is A, an MIT student, B, intelligent, C, wears these things all over. If we had no information, as you said, about this person, if it was just known, let's say, as you said, if it was a person who was 14, 15, it would be much more ambiguous. People would say, oh, that poor girl, she didn't know any better. She was just wearing something that was so cute. And then the shadings would be different. It's very tricky in this sort of situation to say, the government is going to be given this job, and we can assume that the government is going to be right, because this is a perfect example of where mistakes could be made, and mistakes could easily be made with a private firm as well.
Sure they could.
But if the mistakes are made, and I find that the government should have known or should have done something else to be able to subdue this woman or stop her or do something else, then I say to myself, yeah, these government officials will be given a lot easier time than any sort of private security force that were to make this mistake.
So if a private security firm were to make the same mistake, then they would be punished by the marketplace, whereas the government people are completely insulated from it.
Yeah, and they would not only be punished by the marketplace, but they would not be insulated to lawsuits and other types of things for compensation, whereas the government, it would be very difficult to fight them because, of course, they're tasked with this thing. It's a very difficult job, and, well, shoot, you know, this is one of those edge problems. We just... You know, we
should
just couldn't be certain.
Should they err on the side of shooting, or should they err on the side of caution?
Within the government paradigm, that's a fascinating question. I mean, I think, in my opinion, I don't even approach it that way because I don't accept the government paradigm. But if I have to think along those lines, they're there to protect all these other people. That's a really difficult call.
I'm sorry. MP5s are going to kick up all kinds of ricochets all over the place. You better have a serious, seriously good reason for using one.
So you're saying they should err on the side of caution.
They should.
Obviously.
Look, the caution is you need to be able to do something to this person who may let off a bomb any second, may blow themselves to pieces. At the same time, you have a potentially dangerous weapon in your hand, and firing it, even if you're firing it into this, at this person, ricochets can happen, glass can get broken, people can have heart attacks, all kinds of things can happen by pulling that trigger. So, yeah, you need a seriously good reason. Now, if she'd have gone, and freaked out in front of them, yeah, they'd have smoked her.
Right. And as I say, I can understand that if they indeed felt like there was a problem, that they were being threatened, that would have been... I can see that as being understandable. The problem I have is that there clearly was not a threat. The woman was she understood what they were telling her. She was responsive to them. They did not need to be pointing weapons at this young lady in that particular case. They took it too far. If a cop had slipped, his finger hit the trigger, we could have a dead college student on our hands, and that would be awful. It would be tragic. More on the way. Hour 2's coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at 4 times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.